The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
I think the Knights, their time has arrived. I think last week that 10-man performance in the preliminary final was absolutely exceptional, so I'm going for the Knights.
When you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Buscock into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Croatia looking for a finals berth. That's it. The Croatia fans salute the goal. Could be so vital.
Welcome one and all to the Night Train with Anthony and Rob, where every Monday evening we discuss everything and anything Melbourne Knights. We've got MPL Juniors and Mini Ruse news. We'll discuss Friday night's comeback victory against Pasco Vale. We'll discuss the girls' first win of the season with the head coach Gus Flores. We'll talk about the upcoming Doherty Cup / FFA Cup game against ex-NSL side Moorabbin. And our special guest in the studio will be the star of Blue Heelers, who also incidentally played a few games for the Knights and was a championship-winning custodian in the form of Wilson Wally Knežević. But first, a shout-out to the sponsors that make the club tick. Night Train major sponsor St Andrews Hotel, formerly the Pump House, located at 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. IND Group, number one ticket holder, Melbourne Croatia Soccer Club, Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts, Melville Bodyworks, and the Australian Croatian Clubs of Melbourne and Geelong. But as always in the studio, we have Anthony Smolic. Smolic, a great weekend of football and great to see the side getting back to winning ways, but no song tonight.
No song tonight, mate. I'm absolutely cooked. It's nearly Easter. I'm done for this part of the year, but we'll get some together after the Easter break. Maybe I'll get a bit of inspiration from my mother-in-law's on Easter Sunday.
So say a big lamb injection or something.
Could be, mate. Could be. There'll be some vegans protesting out the front of my old man's joint, but too bad, mate. I'll be writing a song inside, eating a courgette. It's all good.
Doesn't matter. It's a public holiday anyway. You don't need to go anywhere. And as always, we also have Josh Parrish back in the studio. And Josh, good evening and a pleasure to have you with us once again.
Always a pleasure, lads. I'm very sad about the lack of a song, but hopefully, you know, he can recharge over this Easter period and come back refreshed creatively because, you know, we see the numbers at the end of the show, guys. They're hanging out for it. Or else it just climbs and climbs and climbs as they get to that time of the evening. So we'll have to temper the expectations tonight for comedic potential, but I'm sure we'll more than make up for it in the body of the actual show.
Well, we'll try, but anyway. I can see the listenerships are just dropping as we speak. We've got three people listening. Since they heard there was no song, but look, we'll keep on going. But Anthony, a mixed bag of results with the juniors and the mini roos yesterday.
We do. So thanks again to Susie Corlidge for the juniors update. Mini Knights. So they've started as of last Thursday. So if anyone's interested in bringing down their real little ones, bring them down Thursdays. Possibly not. We'll wait and see if there's any training this Thursday down at Dobson Reserve because it is Good Friday at the end of the week. But in a major coup, we have secured the services of a B-licensed coach to take our littlest Knights for the season, so for all their sessions. Everyone's welcome. Please tell your family and friends who have children in this age group to come down. Sessions are every Thursday, commencing at 6:30 down at Dobson Reserve at Churchill Avenue in Maidstone. It's a great pathway into the under-7s mini Knights. Even if they're a couple of years younger than an under-7s year level, bring them down and they get to learn the basics and with a fantastic coach. Round two for the Mini Roos. So this all happened yesterday. Results are as follows. Under-7s Rob won 6-4. Under-7s Peter lost 3-1. Under-8s Ivan won 6-1. Great win there. Under-8s Jack, old man Gavran, had the bye. Under-9s Luch won 2-1 after going down 1-0 to Green Gully out there at Green Gully Reserve. So it was a couple of smolly turns and we made it 2-1. Under-10 Paul won 4-1. That was, again, from 1-1 against George Cross. They managed 4-1. That's two wins in a row for the Under-10s Kangaroos. Under-10s Bruno lost 5-1. Under-11s Damien lost 8-0, but they do have a number of players overseas at the moment at the Prvi Korac tournament. Under-11 Vlad won 7-1. Fantastic victory there for the boys. Under-11 girls Another one, Jacob's team won 8-6 away to Williamstown. So our rivals at Williamstown, it was neck and neck all the way, but it was fantastic. That's their first win for the season. And the under-12s girls, Sebastian, had a bye. Big shout-out here from Susie to our under-11s girls team and under-11 Vlad team on great wins this week, and they were fantastic victories. In terms of the NPL teams, round 8, Melbourne Knights versus Whittlesey. Under-12s D lost both. Under-12s S won 1, lost 1. Under-13s lost 4-1. Under-14s lost 4-0. The 15s won 5-1, and the 16s won 8-1. Our under-15s continued their undefeated run after 8 rounds and remained top of the ladder. A huge and special shout-out to the under-16s who had another emphatic 8-1 win yesterday. The under-16s have scored a whopping 44 goals in 7 games. So this must be some kind of a record. Amazing start and remain 7 wins out of 7. Big games coming up, though, against Pascoe Vale and Hume in the next few weeks. So thank you again, Susie, for the juniors update, and we'll have a couple of other score updates as the night progresses.
Yeah, we'll talk about the 18s and that fantastic comeback performance as well of the 20s. Yeah, so hopefully we have scorers on that one. But an amazing comeback win, 2-0 down at half-time, and came back with a hat-trick, well, the 3 goals in the second half.
Exactly right. You turn up, they're 2-0 down, and you go get yourself a hot dog or a drink. Not a hot dog, it was Lent. You can't eat a hot dog. There's no meat in a hot dog. That's what my old man always says. So, you come out and you're 3-2, and I had a chat to Ben Suri afterwards at the bar there as well, and he was impressed with the result, but not particularly impressed across the board, so they've probably gone back to the drawing boards this week. So it's good. Even when you're winning, things still need to improve. Yeah, that's fantastic.
If nothing else, it shows huge character, you know, come back from 2 goals down, even, you know, at that more mature age, but, you know, being 2 goals down and coming back, fantastic. So the youth continue to impress. And the women also had a decent day out in round 2, in the round 2 away clash to Bundoora United. Is that your old stomping ground?
It is. I've taken a century down there at Bundoora, I think. Hall of Fame. Myself. And look, I'm not even an unbeliever up on the wall down there at Greenwood High.
Oh, fantastic stuff. But the Rezzies did go down 4-2, but there was a brace scored by Delich. And the senior team got their first win of the season with a convincing 3-0 win with a Spiteri brace and a goal from Šikić. But on the line to discuss results in further detail is the head coach of the senior women's side, Gus Flores. Gus, welcome to the Night Train.
Thank you guys for having me.
More than a pleasure, but mate, with a name like Gus Flores, it's no surprise you know your way around the world game.
I've been around the game for many years. But glad to be back at Knights. My son, many years ago, under 12, played for Knights. So pitch number 2 is very familiar to me.
It is. How's it looking these days compared to when your son was playing the 12s? A bit drier?
A little bit drier.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But look, on a serious note, a fantastic result for the girls away from home.
Yeah, look, it was an awesome result. We've been working very hard towards that. The group of girls are very committed, and I must say that we have depth, we have quality, and we have enthusiasm in the group. So it's no surprise that we won. We just got to work towards maintaining a winning streak or doing well through the season.
Well, you began the role earlier in the year, taking over from Tony, the Pizzaiola cold check after almost a decade with the girls. How do you feel the girls have progressed since you've stepped in, and what are the main areas you feel like need to be worked on?
I think the group has been done very well. Tony has been very gracious about giving me information about the team, and he's always been very helpful. So the transition hasn't been that hard. Obviously, being a new coach, new ideas or different ideas, not necessarily better, just different. But the girls have responded well. Tonya has been an awesome, that's Tony's daughter. She has been awesome in the help that she has provided me. We've been working hard since December. The girls are 100% committed to what we're trying to do. And, you know, I think our main area of concern, which was from the beginning, it's just that one-touch situation and clever passing. Once we get that under control, I think we should be all right.
Well, I mean, do you get a chance to see the Rezzies as well? I mean, unfortunately, they lost their encounter yesterday, but it was encouraging to see them score.
Yeah, it was very good to see this going. It was actually very unfortunate because we could have actually put that game away in the first 10 minutes and just through a little bit of bad luck and lack of finishing, we found ourselves behind when we had probably 99% of the attack. So, yeah, it was a little bit unfortunate. It was good of the girls to get back, though, and not give up. Still a few things that need to be worked, especially in terms of just a little bit of fitness. But they think that Marco is working hard to get under control, and I think we should be able to get it done for them too.
Yeah, fantastic. Are there any girls in particular at the club that you feel are a standout or might have a chance of doing something special in the game?
Well, I think Kate Espiteri, she's a very, very strong striker. But we have a number of girls down there. Catherine Sikic, I think I got it right, Sikic. Yeah, she's very strong. But we have depth in the team up. It's just up to them, the amount of work and commitment that they put in there. And, you know, two or three could go a little bit further. In the races, we have Philly, who is a very, very talented player. And I think she should be able to do pretty well too.
Yeah, and Gus, I know over the last few weeks there have been some advertisements out there on social media looking for a goalkeeper. So have you managed to find a goalkeeper for the senior girls team?
Oh, mate, we've been stressing about goalkeepers since December last year. And the last training session, we solved both issues for the races and the senior team. With the races, we found a goalkeeper for the races in Sunshine Station. One of my players approached a girl wearing soccer shorts, and she turned out to be an actual goalkeeper looking for a place to play. So
Melissa,
that was awesome.
Melissa Barbieri was busking down at the station there, so she's...
Emmy was very desperate because we were in a situation where we might have had to play one of our players in goals, and she decided she wasn't going to do that, so she just went out and found a goalkeeper, which was awesome of her. And for the seniors, Tony and myself managed to talk to Lucy Bolger, who has been around the club for many, many years.
Yeah, legend of the girls.
Who had actually retired, and she's been pretty good, and she's come back as a goalkeeper, and she's been amazing, not only in terms of covering the post for us, but also the respect that the girls have for them, I think. It just lifted the team that little bit further up. So she's been great in both items.
That's all right. If Lucy's ever injured or unable to make it, I'm sure we've got here with us Vilsan Knežević, a couple of injections, and he can
in
goals.
A bit of a nip and tuck.
Just a blonde wig and she should be all right.
Yeah. But Lucy Bolter looks like she's just one of those prodigious talents. She could do anything she puts her mind to, she's going to excel at by the looks of it.
I'm just waiting to see her dive. That's the only thing I haven't seen. I want to see her dive before a ball.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we won't take it too long, but I'm just been worried about the whole tactic about going to Sunshine Station and approaching people, because if anyone approached me at Sunshine Station, I think I'd run the other way. But
you get desperate, you have to do desperate things, mate.
Yeah. Tell her just to watch a few videos of Bruno Fornaroli if she wants to learn how to dive. There's plenty of footage on YouTube.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that.
So, Gus, anyway, what's in store for the girls in the upcoming round?
Well, we have a bye next week, so we'll rebuild from that. And then I think we're going to be working hard. We had people from Moreland Seabreeze coming to watch our game, and they think they got our measure, but I think we're going to change tactics from them, and we're hoping to give them a couple of surprises and come away with the 3 points.
That's it. Keep them guessing, Gus.
Yeah, keep them guessing, exactly.
Well, you've got your finger on the pulse by looks of things. But, Gus, thanks for coming on to the Night Train. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from you and some of the girls even to come in live in the station so that the fans out there get to know you and get to know some of the girls that are part of the team, and so they can become the attraction that they deserve to be.
Exactly. Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Cheers, Gus.
Thank you, Gus.
Good night. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was Gus Flores, the head coach of the women's or girls team at the Knights. But let's turn our attention over to the NPL Victoria results over the weekend, starting off with Dandenong City, who continue with another loss at home to an in-form Altona Magic going down 4-1. Avondale continued on their winning ways with a 6-2 demolition of Dandenong Thunder, winning 6-2. Port Melbourne's resurgence since playing us continued with a 1-0 win over the surprise strugglers of the year, the Oakley Cannons, so they're in all sorts of bother. Heidelberg proved too strong for Bentley, winning at home 2-0. Hume City managed to draw... that's from the previous round. The predictions of a South Melbourne resurgence after winning the original Melbourne derby have proved to be baseless after they went down at home to Hume City 2-0. And the Melbourne Knights, of course, showed plenty of character coming from behind to beat Pascavale away from home 3-1 with goals to the tenacious Gian Albano, a first for the club for Attila Offaly, and a penalty conversion from Hamish Watson after no one could save Hakeem from a red card.
Yeah, I think after that performance on Friday, I was going to make a banner, save Hakeem or free Hakeem from his contract.
Yeah. Well, no one could save him from the red card, but these jokes are probably a little bit tasteless. But this is probably a good opportunity to say any opinions given on this show or elsewhere are not the official opinions of the club or FNR Radio. And I can see both Tony Georgiadis and Josh breathing a collective sigh of relief over on the other side of the studio. But I'm not sure even if our opinions are even
You could extend that out to anything said during this program, I suppose.
I think so, yeah. Well, I was going to extend it out to say I don't think the opinions actually voiced by ourselves are probably aren't even our own opinions, but the voices in our heads. But that's a different matter for a different day. But tonight, Kingston and Green Gully will be battling out the final game of round 9 as we go to air, kicking off at 8:30 at the Grange Reserve. And we'll try to keep you up to date with any score updates during the program. The ladder after 9 rounds has Avondale on top with 25 points, followed by Heidelberg United on 19 points. The Knights jump back to third on 18 points. Altona Magic and Bentley Greens have 16 points apiece, and Hume make up the 6 on 14 points. Port Melbourne and Green Gully are both on 13. Pascavale, Dandenong Thunder and South Melbourne are all on 10 points. And the bottom three are Oakley Cannons on 5, Kingston on 5, and Dandy City on 4 points. So let's talk a bit about the game on Friday. A very valuable 3 away points to an always dangerous Pascavale.
It was 1-0 down. That young, was it Georgopoulos, 17-year-old, who scored an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
Left, unfortunately, Chucky on his line rooted. It was just a great bottom right-hand corner for Chucky. He had absolutely no chance. But from there, we had a lot of chances, and they were not half chances. These were 100% chances where they were cutbacks from Cvitkovic. That keeper, Freely, whatever his name was,
yeah,
he did exceptionally well to keep him in the game at that point. Lucky enough to get that penalty, have a send-off at the same time, convert the penalty 1-1, and then the pressure for the rest of the game eventuated in a couple more goals and a very, very important away win after the disappointing week before.
Mm.
I'm pretty impressed with that little setup they've got down there. So used to be Faulkner Soccer Club. They've still got the old club room and the old ground, but the little facility they've got there, not a huge grandstand, a nice, clean social club's change rooms, bar.
The pitch is sensational as well.
Yeah. Didn't look great on TV. It looked great from the sidelines. On TV, it didn't look as good, but for a club like Pascavale, I think that is an absolutely perfect facility, and it's great for the league to have something like that.
Yeah. It's perfect for the league. It sort of reminds you of Kingston City's ground where they've got those 70s vinyl chairs out on the on the grass slope. Yeah,
and a lot of kids. Once again, there were loads and loads of kids running around the game. I know my kids were behind the goal heckling the keeper during the penalty.
Yes.
But a lot of Pascavale kids as well, which is good to see, and it was a pretty good atmosphere. Overall, the MCF were up in the top of the grandstand making a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
But it was good Friday night suburban football. You know, the old Duke's Road, go down to Bonwick Street, get some fish and chips. Like in the old days, it was fantastic to get out, and it was good weather as well. So, the NPL's really been blessed with weather for this season as well.
So far, and I think probably a good decision to start the season a little bit earlier in February as well to get, you know, most of those nice days, sunny days. But one of the best aspects I found from Friday was, unlike the South Melbourne game where we came out and started pumping long balls in the second half in windy conditions, which was just didn't make any sense, even though we went down, they kept playing, we kept possession, they kept playing football, kept trying to play our own game. And at the end of the day, look, we scored three goals and there should have been a lot more, actually. So, and people can argue, oh, well, we got the pen. That so what, you know, but even playing against 10 men, it's not always that easy, you know, and coming out, and we just looked the dominant side, I think, for 75% or 80% of the game.
It's tough when you can see the first goal against Pasco Vale,
because
they are a good defensive team. They're a bit of a weird side. Yep. They tend to sort of play the percentages and rely on Davey Van Skip to score the odd goal, and they tend to punch above their weight a little bit. But when you can see the first goal and then they're, you know, got 10 men and really closing the space down and sitting back, it's a tough place to actually score. So credit to the Knights for breaking through and actually making that pressure tell in the end.
Yeah. And even when you drop deeper, Von Schiep, he just opened us up with those through balls. The vision
he's
that
bloke's
right foot and left foot. He was putting through balls through from behind halfway. Literally 1-on-1 Chucky again saved the 1-on-1, which was a 100% chance for Pasco Vale. But otherwise it was that pass from Von Schiep that just opened us up. Bloke ran on, lucky chuckled in goals, kept it at 1-0.
And it was obviously he wasn't 100%. I mean, he was strapped up everywhere, and you could see he was a little bit throppy, but
it helped if he wore some shin pads that were designed for adults. So
mate, that might help him, yeah.
I don't know if he has abnormally long shins or whether he just wears children's shin pads. But it seems to be a stylistic choice among
maybe
some
he had
of the
calf implants. Players. They're all the rage now.
Maybe the children's shin pads are more acceptable on Brunswick Street in Fitzroy. I'm not sure that the thing is. But the other thing about Pasco Vale, and you're absolutely right, they defend really well, but they're so dangerous on the counter so quick. You know, and that was a thing that they almost caught us out a couple of times. But look, at the end of the day, it was a fantastic result. I think we played pretty well, ground out the result, were patient, and particularly that third goal, I think the lead up to it was absolutely beautiful. You know, the interplay and the passing. And another thing is actually even some of the performances. You know, someone that we probably don't talk about enough, I think Corey Sewell. He's been sensational since starting. He's been so – he's got composure. He looks solid at the back. You never got your heart in your mouth when he's on the ball. You just know he's going to do the right thing. And I think arguably our most consistent player this season, and been a fantastic pickup by the club.
And he ended up on the wings that many times that, and he got some decent balls into the box. I think that ball that went over to Offaly and it popped over the back to him was a Sewell ball from the left where he wandered out of his comfort zone, attacked, took it out on the wing, put in a decent cross. Fantastic. But yeah, I think he's going to become a cult figure.
I've already
bought a wig. I've got a wig exactly like his. So I think I might pull it out on Wednesday night for the Moorabbin game.
But even when Luke Jurcic got subbed off and then Tom Potterese come on the left, he goes on the right and he's just solid. Doesn't matter what part of the, you know, whether he's playing on the left or the right. Absolutely impressive. I love the bloke. I've got a man crush on him.
David Zdrilic. It's a utility.
He's come across from Bulleen, is that
right? That's right.
They still have a good crop of young footballers. I think they didn't put quite enough faith in last season when they got relegated. They tended to bring in a bunch of experienced players who maybe passed the peak. And you see a few of the guys who've left the club since, like Corey and like Jordan Templin over at Lang Warren, actually completely excelling now. So they've got a young side in NPL too, and I think have come to their senses a little bit and put faith in the youth system that they have.
And it just goes to show when you do put faith in the young players, and you throw them in the fire, and you know what, they deal with it, and they do very well. Look, they make mistakes here and there, but look at Chucky. I think he's a perfect example. Last year, had a hard year, probably a baptism of fire. You know, getting in the first team, but this year he's excelling. He just needed that experience, I think, and I think it's fantastic. And the Knights this year, look, I think we only got three or four players that are over the age of 26 or something like that. Most of the side's like 22, 21, 23, and it's great. So you just know there's going to be longevity at the club. You can build a real dynasty with these players, you know, and the fans are starting to love them.
Yeah,
you know?
And it shows also, I saw the coaches at halftime, so they're outside of the rooms. As I was walking past through the back where the dressing rooms were, I saw Gojevic and Cholina and everybody actually outside the door having a bit of a discussion before they went in. That also might be reflected because it's such a young team. They need to be coached differently to what it was in the past.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Wally a little bit later on where you could spray people in the middle of the dressing room or out in the field, etc. New generation, new coaching techniques are required because not everyone can be coached the same way as it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
New generation, you need to adapt, and it seems that the current crop of coaches that we've got are adapting very well to a particularly younger demographic we've got in the club.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the bulk of their job is just psychology. They're getting into the players' heads and getting them, you know, believing in themselves. But one thing, another player that you actually mentioned, Offaly,
It's been very quiet coming in early rounds. It was good when he came on. He was actually effective, scored a good goal. He was getting involved, and I think, well, look, no one's going to disagree, a fit and in-form Offaly is going to offer a lot to this team. So seeing him come in and actually offer something, I think that's a fantastic sign. It's got something, you know, that I'm hoping to see in the coming weeks, to see a lot more of Offaly as well, and showing us what he can do, because he seems to have fire up his butt as well in the last couple of weeks. Something's happened to him, and it's good to see.
All right. But sitting beside us here, patiently, introduction, I guess it is needed for some of the younger listeners out there.
I reckon we need to put in the doghouse music, because I don't know if no one's going to call, so we'll just put it on for Wally anyway.
I reckon where the calls are going to come in thick and fast, and I'll read through some of the texts and messages that have come through. But if you want to chuck on the doghouse music.
Let's do it.
In tonight's special feature, we hear their thoughts on where the game has been and where it's heading.
You can't handle the truth.
You want really to say something?
Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse. Rover, Rover, move it over. Two cats are coming in.
Now, looking at all the messages that are coming through, no doubt there will be phone calls coming from many of these people, but let me just read out a couple that have come through. So these are the ones that have said hello. Piero Gerganovic, Steve Kozul, Anthony J. Sousa, Nevkola Kusic, Damien Wojtek, all the way from Zagreb, says hello. And Bella, our mate Bella, mine and yours, says Perasovic, says hello. And Slug asks, do you have a brother called Pigeon? So these are some sort of internal jokes.
Well, apparently even Lisa McCune's saying hello.
Yeah, Lisa McCune says hello. There you go. But born, is this correct? I hope this is just off the Oz football database. 19 October 1975?
Yeah, that's correct.
There you go. So you're only a year younger than I am. I'm 20 October. We won't even mention the year. Position, goalkeeper. Playing record, 95-96, Melbourne Knights. 96-97, same, seven appearances. 97-98, Melbourne Knights. 98-99, Canberra Cosmos.
That was a long time ago.
99-2000, Adelaide City. Then 2000-2001. And if anyone looked at my Facebook feed today, you would have seen the Panini card. How do you pronounce it? Germinal? Germinal Beer Shop Antwerp in Belgium? Germinal?
I think it's Germinal Beer Shot.
Germinal Beer Shot. There you go.
There's Isn't that something that the alternative population uses to... No, I won't talk about.
And in 2001, to Sydney United, and then finished up at Melbourne Knights again. Welcome, Wilson Wally, as he's affectionately known, Knežević.
Thank you very much, boys.
Former host or co-host of the 3WRB station there with Ilija Dragicevic and Steve Vukasevic as well. So he's had a checkered career not only in football but in radio.
I'm not sure he's going to like that.
Now, Wilson, that's a, yeah, it's not Wilson. So some people, I remember at soccer, used to yell out Wilson, lock off the castaway and do all sorts of, you know. But Wilson, the name, very unique.
Yeah, me and my brother were lucky enough to be named after Hajduk Split players. Not many people got that pleasure. There was a player back in Hajduk back in the days called Wilson Johnny. So I was obviously named after him. And my brother was Vedran, named after Vedran Rosic. So cheerio to my dad.
Thanks, Dad.
And your old man was one of many suppliers for my old man. He got him a bullhorn once upon a time. The old bullhorn, I don't know where he got it from.
Yeah, I think I remember that bullhorn.
Red, white and blue. He painted it for my old man.
I remember it had a straw.
It did, with a bit of blue tack.
Bit of blue tack, and they used to belt out a few tunes at the Olympic Park.
Just
back
above
in the day.
That little entry point right in the far corner, away from the press box, the very other end. Branko Rogic, Porkuna, your old man, Pedro Kokotovic, the whole gang used to sit up there, Branko Babic.
So we made Vuvuzelas cool back in the 80s.
They were, and then my mum hit it, and I almost grew up in a broken home because there was nearly divorce when she wouldn't tell him where it was. But when did you start playing at the Knights? When was your official time starting there as a junior?
As a junior, I started probably about 1984. So moved across there at Maribyrnong, Fairbairn Park. I think it's called Fairbairn Park. Yeah. So I started off in 1984, then played all the way juniors right until seniors. So stayed throughout the whole duration. For like 10 years straight through, yeah.
Live the dream.
To the seniors. So.
What about your brother? Where did he start playing as a junior?
He's not actually a Melbourne Knights original. He's actually Dinamo,
so in
St Albans. So he spent, I think, 1 year there, I think. And then we moved across to Altona City because we used to live in Altona North, Fifth Avenue. So cheerio to a few boys. I know Marian Switkovic, a few of those boys live in Altona North. So cheerio to
absolutely
those boys.
Fantastic place to
aren't
live.
Aren't Dragovic
well, Dragovic actually lives out in the sticks somewhere, I think, Altona or somewhere.
He reckons you say it best when you say nothing at all.
Well, he goes for Green Bay Packers, mate, so that says it all.
And Dennis Knežević claims, no, Wilson and I are not related. There you go.
No, we're not.
But you did get a lot of likes, even though I don't know these people, on my Facebook feed. There are a number of Kneževićes from back in the old country who have liked the post. And
I think they're all cousins, yeah.
Yeah, even Roko Eškinja, who I know from over there as well.
They don't have many TVs in Vrana, that's the thing.
Yeah, no, they've got plenty, man.
All right, so going through all the way through the juniors, who are some of the kids that you remember you played with and then made it all the way through to at least the youth /seniors level?
Well, I remember Damian Wojtek was one. Well, obviously, Mark Viduka, who everyone knows. So he was a standout, of course. Damir Gaganovic, a lot of people be surprised. He actually, juniors, he was actually on par with Viduka. He was phenomenal as a junior. Then he obviously progressed to seniors as well. So Damian Wojtek, who else was
Martin Bilic.
Martin Bilic, he played like our juniors and stuff like that. Martin, actually, he stayed the same size throughout his whole life. So as a junior, he was always a head taller than us, but then we all sort of caught up to him later on, but he just remained the same. But
I remember Martin Bilic once telling me that he's really good with his hands. I didn't know how to take that.
Anyway. There was actually a funny story when we were in juniors playing, and you know how the parents would come in with the passports and they'd look at each play and they'd look at the photos, yeah, and they came across Martin Bilic and they just see these big muscular legs, hairy legs, and he just looks at him and thinks like, "Where's your father?" We just sort of look at him. He was a big man, mate, when he was in juniors. So.
And you were telling us a story earlier. You say he knew his music, Martin, and once upon a time somebody turned up to training with a Metallica T-shirt, I believe.
Yeah, this was a story. A Borja Korcho rocked up with a Metallica top and Martin walked up to him and said, "Well, Borja, you don't listen to Metallica." Borja, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, name five albums." And Borja's there thinking, "Ride the Lightning." He's just struggling. All of a sudden, Martin just chases him down Fairbairn Park, the whole of Maribyrnong. So.
Actually, that brings up a point. If anyone wants to text in, someone was asking me, we should ask people which band T-shirt they wore back in the day, because I remember Summer Street being littered with all sorts of hard rock and heavy metal T-shirts. I want to know which one you were wearing.
Oh, there was quite a few. Yeah, I think Megadeth, the singlet ones. And that was back in the long hair days. So
get the guns out. I think I had Exodus, Pleasures of the Flesh, T-shirt of choice. I got kicked out in year 8, first day of school, sent home wearing that T-shirt.
As far as I'm concerned, the long hair days is today, but you know,
it's today. No, I agree. No, that's all right.
Long hair. We're talking about long hair, and I see him now very, very often at training. Damian Crollo, he had the longest hair, and he was the bloke I was most scared of as a youngster at Summer Street, because anyone with hair that long, I didn't even want to look at him.
I'll tell you what, he was fit, mate, for a guy that didn't really sort of take care of him. He was unbelievable. He was very fit.
Yeah,
he was running up and down all day.
He's still at the Knights. Two kids in the juniors there, girls under 11s and under 8s or 9s, I'm not too sure. Little Luca, so it's good to see a lot of these old faces around the place as well. Now, 95-96, grand final comes along. Young Wilson Knežević thrown into the fire.
Hadn't played a game for the seniors yet, have you?
I didn't play not one game, so not even a practice game throughout the year. So that was basically it. One game and one final, one win. So
what a game.
Sounds like an Eminem song. One shot. One shot.
You must have been sweating. I mean, how were you feeling? I mean, going in the grand final, for God's sake.
Yeah, I knew it was coming up because I knew the guys that were going to miss out, they got selected for the Aldi Roos. Yeah. So they went to Atlanta to the Olympics. So so I obviously knew I was going to play. And then what can you do, really? I felt actually sorry for the coach, Dobbo. I was thinking, what's he going to say to me, you know, as a coach? And what do you say to someone that's first game? His first game's a grand final. And I think he just basically said, look, just go out there, just enjoy yourself. Pretty much. You can't really say anything else. I had a little bit of nerves, but once the game started, they were gone. They were gone. So we knew back then we had a superior team.
Yeah.
I mean, we beat Marconi over there in Sydney, so we were pretty confident going into that.
Yeah, those two semis, actually, the home and away, and that's it, against Marconi, they were classic games.
We were
games.
Actually so confident. I remember we had Sizzler for lunch. That was on Ballarat Road.
You made it to the game after eating Sizzler.
Well, you weren't playing with your fitness, you were playing with your life, I think.
But for our competition question, so the scorers for Melbourne Knights in that 96 grand final, Andrew Marth and Adrian Savinsky, if anyone remembers, who was the scorer for Marconi? So who was the bloke that did beat Wally?
I do remember.
And according to the official transcript here, Marconi kept it interesting when they received the corner themselves only shortly afterwards. The corner was taken and landed neatly on Andy.
Yeah.
It could be anyone.
The tiptoeer. The tiptoeer's head.
Landed on his head. Wilson Knežević had left his line, leaving only a man at the post who could do no more than head the ball into the roof of the net. So it made it 2-1. Who scored that goal for Marconi? And were you
only accepting talkback calls?
So I'm expecting Pierre to ring in.
9994999 is the number to call.
And you can also ring and say, were you one of those thousands of people that invaded the pitch afterwards as well?
Yeah, certainly was.
Interesting story there. After the game, someone's just run up to me. It was Persky, and he just grabbed my shirt and he said, give me a top.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. I just took it off. I didn't know what was going on. We just won the final. I go, just take it, mate.
And here's my wallet.
Just everything. So.
No, so you also spent a bit of time at Canberra Cosmos, Adelaide City, Belgium. What was that like?
Yeah, Belgium wasn't too bad, Belgium, actually. I played a season there. Obviously injury, forced out through injury, but enjoy myself there. The crowds were so, they weren't massive, but, you know, you get like 14 to 20,000 probably people, you know. Played against big teams like Anderlecht and Standard Liège. Back then, Anderlecht were pretty strong. They had that young caller up front. They had a pretty good side. They were actually in the Champions League. They did well that year, so. But it was a good experience.
Now, also, if anyone out there listening, and I'll go with a lot of listeners, if anyone can get their hands on, there was a computer game out at that particular point in time, and Wally, apparently someone from overseas did message
it. Someone told me it was like a 2000, one of those
FIFA, EA Sports, or
I don't know
whatever.
Which game it was, yeah.
Maybe the other ones, not the official EA Sports.
Not the official one, though, probably.
Some arcade in Footscray, maybe. It could
some
have been.
Garage.
But if anyone can
yeah.
get their hands on some kind of computer game from around 2000, where Wally, you can pick him as your goalkeeper. And what did he say? Did you say, was he any good?
I asked him, was I good? He goes, yeah. You know.
And he hung up the phone, so he didn't have to say anymore.
Well, forget about Belgium. What was it like playing in Canberra? Did you cry yourself to sleep at night?
Mate, it was freezing cold in Canberra, mate. I tell you what. The worst, slept in my clothes, mate. Yeah. I reckon the first probably 2 months.
What about your mindset, your psychology? Were you depressed or what?
I was pretty much all right.
Was Wadey there? Was Wadey there?
He was, I think he was a year before.
Okay.
But look, we're under the pump then. We had a lot of players through the Premier League in Canberra. So, Israeli Arasic was the coach then. So, he had some old school ideas.
What was he like as a coach?
Yeah, like I said, he had some old school ideas. And
I like it. Who's that from? Now, David Wojtek sent that through.
That's Andrew Albert. He was
Andrew
the coach
Albert.
Of the. Colts back in the day.
Oh, the Colts.
Yeah, the good old Colts.
But we do have a caller on the line.
Yes, I think we've got to start with the music, though.
Oh, we have to.
Yes, Rob from Adelaide is on the line to answer the trivia question. Rob, welcome. You're on the air.
Good to be here, guys.
Rob. Do I know this, Rob? This is Smolik.
I think you might.
Yeah. Yes, we were talking about, me and Wally were actually talking about Gotham Nightclub in Zadar earlier back in the 90s. I think that's where we may have met for the very first time, you and your brother there in all your glory. But Rob, do you
Is this the Rob that has a surname that's a beverage?
That's the one, buddy.
Welcome to the show. Nice to see the Raiders listening in.
Just here with your old fellow co-host here, Mr. Slug.
Oh, the slug is in Adelaide. That's why.
Yeah,
so he's in Adelaide there. There you go.
He's made the long trip over,
He's obviously given you the answer. Who did score for Marconi in that game in 1996?
I think it's Andy Harper, yeah.
Andy Harper, yes.
He certainly did.
Yep. And he's still going strong, Andy Harper. Well done, so, Mr. Rob Shorter from Adelaide. You are the winner, but we may give you the interstate prize unless you want to give the $100 voucher to Slug. So, but I don't think you need to.
Slug wants it. I think he's carrying on here, so, yeah. Hand it to Slug. He'll sort us out when we get over there.
I think he might have won one already.
I think he did win one already. How many times is he going to go there?
He's going to clean our voyage, mate. We're going to have to shut shop soon, I reckon, if Slug keeps coming. So thank you very much, Rob, from Adelaide. So you can see there, the people interstate listening. Fantastic. Okay. Keep on listening.
Actually, while we've got you on the line, Rob, the Raiders having a pretty spectacular season, just come up from the second division and doing very well.
Absolutely, yeah. We're second on the table, so 1 point behind the other side. They also got promoted with us, so going really well.
Now, that Murray that's scoring goals, any relation to Damien Murray?
That's, Damien's son.
Damien's son. So he's not Adelaide City's with us. That's good. Because he scored both? He scored at least two, I think.
He scored a brace. Played beautifully on the weekend. So
and now
also got a good striker over there as well, Terence Carter. He's doing well. So yeah,
there you go. Also see some kind of investment from the government into that Jepps Cross precinct. Is that of any?
Unfortunately, that's for next door. But hopefully we can milk something out of that slowly.
Yeah, bit of that, that's good, but it's good if it's if it's building up
it
all helps.
I know a major sponsor down there in Adelaide that's good at milking.
Is he a good bloke or?
Oh, he's all right. He's just got no hair, that's all.
No hair and builds a dodgy home or two, hey?
Spends too much time down at Alberton, from what I understand.
good
Rob. Thank you very much. Pass on the regards.
Keep having good work, guys. Good stuff.
Yeah. Linda and the family and everybody. So thanks for ringing in all the way from Adelaide. Dude. Thanks very much.
A shout out to everyone over at Adelaide Croatia Raiders. Keep up the good work and good luck for the rest of the season.
Will do, guys, and the Knights too. Have a good one.
Cheers, mate. Now, Wally, I reckon a fair few of our listeners would have been up early this morning watching the EPL. Who do you support in the EPL, mate?
Liverpool.
Is that only since the last couple of weeks? It's top of the table, all of a sudden you're jumping on the bandwagon?
Yeah, pretty much. As a kid, growing up, that's all we watched growing up as kids, so it was always the Premier League, so pretty much you had to choose a team, and at the time, Liverpool, the ones that were dominating, so I'm sure all the kids growing up in the 90s go for Man U now, so, you know. So
some interesting times at your joint with your brother being a Man United fan?
Yeah.
FA Cup finals, I remember being there once. I think there was tomato sauce that was in a glass bottle.
I don't recall that, mate. It's a made-up story. I just know I just kicked him out of the house once. That was the game against Arsenal when Liverpool lost the league, when they lost 2-0, and didn't let him back in the house.
So long history there of Liverpool support. But you also spend a bit of time back in the old country. Where do you spend most of your time when you do go to Croatia, hit the coast? Where's your
most of the time? So in Belgrade. So we've got a place in Belgrade, Namoru. So basically there in Vrana. Yeah, so my parents were from Vrana, Vransko Jezero, around there. So
better in Belgrade Namoru than the Belgrade Nadula.
But basically mostly there, and then Zadar as well also. So and I don't mind going to Hvar and Split.
God's country, mate. God's country. But as you've seen through most of these shows, there's a bit of a connection. So Wally, obviously, roots from Zadar. Mark Šilić, married to a girl from Zadar. Aren't the beloved, we're trying to get on. Mark Talaic wants to be from Zadar. Our GoFundMe page, we've collected $14,000 to get Mark Talaic on the show. So if you haven't donated yet, Lanco Group's putting $13,500 in to get him on. But we're trying to get Mark Talaic on there. But the thing most people that have been texting me today, and here we go, Stipe Dragovic has said championship manager 2000-2001.
There you go.
Young Wilson Knežević on there to be chosen as a goalkeeper. I'm getting on buying that tonight. And I'll be putting you in goals for sure. All right, here we go. Well, who else we got here? Nick Puljic, Wilson Knežević, played for Adelaide City, Canberra. There you go. What an indoor player, Frano Šarić says.
He's right there, I have to say. Not too bad out on the field. So we had some good times playing futsal. So
whereabouts at Westgate?
Where was it? No, it was actually in St Albans.
So all right.
The high school there. So.
But the thing that everybody wants to know about is your illustrious acting career, I caught up today. I jumped on YouTube.
Very illustrious.
I was frightened. I was frightened.
2005. So if you go on IMDb, Blue Heelers 2005, two episodes. So you weren't only axed after the first one. They called you back, they reckon, for a second one, according to this.
No, just the one episode, actually.
No. So you didn't make getting the bullet. You only made the acid test. As Steve Mathers.
They actually killed my character off, so.
But you got away. You took that mother and daughter hostage, and then you dropped your gun. I didn't see you get shot. I don't know what happened after that,
So it's a terrible ending, man.
Steve Mathers. And also Canal Road, 2008. You were a prison guard.
Yeah, that was about 10-second appearance there. That was very successful.
And it's kicked on since then?
Oh, yeah, it's still running, Canal Road. you catch it on Foxtel.
At about 3 a.m.
Yeah, something like that.
So if you had a choice to be an illustrious football player or, you know, a constant extra on Blue Heelers, what would it be?
A constant extra on Blue Heelers. Come on, man. Come on.
Yeah, because Lisa McCune, she's still going. She's in some dodgy show with Pete Hellier, I think, at the moment.
So
give her a buzz. You still know her. Remember me, man?
Lisa McCune, no.
The judge, what was the old copper's name? The John, the Rafferty's rules guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Give him a buzz.
John Woods.
Woodsy, what's called
him that? I can't believe you remember the name of that
show. I can't remember. I can't believe it either.
But another illustrious, we'll call him an acquaintance, a friend, a confidant, Zelko Sousa, who might be listening in this evening. Silky, we call him in the split old boys.
What do you call him Silky for?
Silky is like the Sean Burgoyne of the old boys at the soccer tournament, mate.
You seen his right foot?
No. He travelled to Gold Coast. He reckons he had too much luggage. He left his right foot at home.
Right foot's non-existent.
Not even for... It's your standing. What is it? Your balancing leg for when you're passing.
That's a supporting leg.
Supporting leg,
that's
there you
the
go.
One. Well, I heard Zog's had a problem with our show, saying there wasn't enough of a female perspective. I reckon there's plenty of estrogen in this room. Don't need any more than that.
But speaking of Zelko, I saw you together at the Dandy City game that couple of Fridays ago. And what's your take on, a potential second division or relegation promotion or whatever in Australia? He's obviously involved in the game at the highest level, so he's probably got a bit more of an ear to the ground of what's going on at the A-League level. But what are you from the outside sort of looking in? What do you reckon? Is it feasible, viable?
I just think it's difficult, yeah. I'm not too sure. Look, I don't watch a lot. I mean, A-League and stuff like that, I watch a little bit, but I just don't think there's enough quality there for a relegation, second division sort of relegation sort of system. I'm not too sure. Look, from what I've seen, what I've watched, it just needs to probably improve, yeah. I'm saying on the junior levels and players coming through, because I don't really see, look, a lot of players. I mean, you look at even the Australian side and things like that. Back in the past, we had a lot of players going overseas. But now it's sort of, it's died down a lot. Yep. I think it has anyway. So, look, I could be wrong, but from what I've watched, A-League and stuff like that, it's more sort of endurance now rather than sort of the skill factor. I think back before, it was a lot more exciting to watch. Look, my opinion was more exciting, yeah, to watch. Our old Melbourne Knights, Melbourne Croatia side, I mean, intricate passes. I mean, that was just brilliant to watch. Yeah. So, look, there's some A-League games that I've watched that have been pretty good. Melbourne Victory and stuff like that. They do play some good football. But, like, on the whole, like, a lot of times I just struggle to watch it. It's iffy. It's hard to watch.
But maybe you could become the new Steve Horvath. You could be the face of the Canberra Cosmos second division bid, I reckon. They could use you, and you can pull in all the sponsors and sign players like Connor Payne and...
No, that's right.
Josh Risden.
Leave that to them.
Now, you said you bumped into a few boys on during the South Derby, the beforehand in the beer garden there. You would have bumped into a couple of people you might not have seen for a long time.
Yeah,
who
are
you really happy to see?
Well, look, all of the guys, yeah. Ivan Juzel, he was there. Ivan Kerlich, Mark Talich, I haven't seen for a while. Andrew Marth, Dabo, I haven't seen him for a really long time.
Tell us about Andrew Marth and Frank Farina.
Yeah. That was a game we played up in Brisbane against the Strikers back in the day. I think they had Rod Brown and Farina up front.
Rod Brown.
Yeah, there's a name. And the ball came up and all I saw was Stab and Farina go up for this header. And Farina was trying to head at the ball, but I think he found Stabber's elbow instead, planted in his jaw. Sent him to the grandstand. And I just went, oh, no. And Stabber didn't even look at the ref. He just started walking off. He knew, mate. He was done. Straight red. And then I think prior to that, I think Juzel got sent off too.
All out of character for both of those two.
Yeah, it is. Very quiet place.
Brain faded. Never happened before.
That's not Stabber's character at all.
Anyone else? Who else? You said you didn't see Theo Salamides, but we were talking about how fit he looks. Mishka, you would have seen?
Yeah, Bishkek, I didn't see, but I have seen him probably the last few months. I think I've seen him at one of the games. But, he's
machine.
I mean, back in the day, he was just fit as, and you just see him now, his age. I mean, he's just phenomenal. But he was actually one of the Melbourne Knights pets for Mirko Bazic back in the day, I remember. This was a story when we used to get marked for our performance over the weekend, and... Bazic would go on the whiteboard and he'd go, okay, six points for Stabber or 7 points for this guy. And then he'd come to Bishkek and go, 8. We're looking at each other. Everyone's looking at each other. They go, why is he getting an 8? The reason why we're looking at each other is because he didn't play. So he didn't even play the game, but he still got an 8. And we're just looking at each other going, what the hell's going on here? obviously to say he loved Bishkek, so... Oh, we all did anyway, Bishkek.
He was too busy playing chess to be watching the game.
Yeah, he loved his chess. Andrew Marth took a lot of sessions back then.
But here we go. We've got a hello from all the way from Madrid. So Rob Chop saying, watching you guys live from Madrid. And we've seen a few of his photos pop up on Down Under Croatians, I think, Facebook page. He's visited a couple of cemeteries over there. So, Rob, keep up the great work, mate.
I saw that, yes.
but thanks for tuning in. And Matty Pavlinovic saying, Josh Risden, half Croatian. There you go. His mother was a Turkic by surname. So I'm not sure if from over that neck of the woods, but we love Josh Risden. I think he's now one of the greatest players in the A-League. and the coach there, Mark Rudan, no doubt, who'll be at Western United very shortly. They'll be doing a great job out there. Fantastic. Keep up the great work.
Well, who are some of the players that left a big impression on you? I mean, you play with some great players.
Oh, look, the obvious one's Viduka, Marko Viduka. I mean, look, he was a phenomenal junior. Like he had size, and just you saw the ability straight away from the get-go. Yeah, I mean, we used to play against my brother's team, who was like 2 years older than us, and they couldn't handle him back then, like he was like 12 years old then, and he was just a standout. I mean, when he went to the Institute, they just fine-tuned him. Yeah, he already had it. He had that skill set, and that's the difference. The players back then, and I'll include Joe Simonich on this, they used to walk around with a soccer ball. Mate, they used to play with a soccer ball day in, day out. As kids, when we grew up, that's all we did. Yeah. We played sports in the background. It was soccer, football, as you want to say. I mean, today the kids, it's basically just, they might play for 10 minutes, then it's on the iPad.
Yeah.
Then it's on, it's just totally different, total different mentality back then, So it was just...
But whilst you go to Zadar, like you said, or you go to Belgrade, then you go out there at midnight and there's kids still playing on a basketball court, playing soccer.
That's the thing, yeah.
And that's a difference, I suppose.
That's a difference too. I mean, you go to South America, that's all they're doing. They're just playing football day in, day out. They don't even wait for training. They're already doing it, like in the backyard. So that plays a huge role, I reckon, in skill set for a kid as he grows up.
Yeah. And was it talent identification as well? With the AIS as it was, it doesn't exist anymore, does it? Or is it
The Centre of Excellence for budgetary reasons.
But the AIS, the way they could identify kids at an age where the rest of us go, he's pretty good, but then they, like you said, they take him, they fine tune him, and send him back, not broken, they send him back a superstar who's been polished. And we've lost that. We've lost it. The Ron Smiths and all these other people back in the day that used to be able to pick a kid and say, yep.
Well, proof's in the pudding, isn't it? I mean, they closed it down how long ago? 10, 12, 13 years ago, whatever it was. Well, what are we producing today? What were we producing then? And look at the talents that were coming out of the AIS back then. And your Ron Smiths, I don't think I've ever heard a bad word about him.
They only closed the Centre of Excellence down a couple of years ago, so we can still see the last sort of class of them coming through the A-League now. But I think the operations have been scaled back somewhat and, they didn't have a technical director and all sorts. So do you think that's something that plays into, your view of the NSL and so forth being more technical as opposed to the A-League today? Can you put your finger on why? Is it a function maybe of cultural change, as you say, kids not spending enough time playing street football?
I think the game's changed as well. So it's more sort of, now it's more physical. You need to be an athlete today to play the game. I mean, look at Ronaldo. I mean, Ronaldo's got incredible skill set, don't get me wrong, but he's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the standard now of the modern day player.
Yeah.
I think the A-League, I don't see too many players coming through the A-League.
Yeah. Athletes go to AFL.
Yeah, well, the athletes go, and there's another good point. Yeah, like a lot of kids when they grow up, they end up going into AFL as well. See, so I heard James Hurd and a few of these AFL players pass. They're actually good soccer players as well as they're growing up. So
yeah, but I hear AFL fans complaining all the time, because believe me, I don't watch it and I don't give a rat's about AFL at all. But you hear them complaining about how there's no skill in the game anymore and how we used to be better 20 years ago. So I think they're mirroring the same thing that's happening in the local game here as well.
Yeah, possibly.
What kind of a guy was Viduka when you were playing with him as a young player? I mean, it's funny, we have this legendary perception of him here, and then you talk to people in the UK and they kind of think he was lazy sod. He turned up every now and again. It was amazing, but didn't really put too much effort in, week out. What kind of a character is he?
No, Mark, look, he's very quiet, as you know. So, he was just an incredible player. I mean, and he was a great guy, Always got along with Mark really well throughout the juniors and stuff like that. A lot of people say, he doesn't get involved here or this or that. But, I think he's given enough to the game to warrant, his time and his space, So I just remember like a few of the games when he used to play, when he played for Middlesbrough. I remember they played against Liverpool and then he ended up scoring like four goals, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Leeds, yeah.
I was actually pissed off. I went, geez, how can we lose, like, you know, to Middlesbrough? And then I looked at the score and I had a smile on my face.
Yeah, Liverpool 3, Mark Viduka 4.
And the thing with Mark is too, when they say lazy, that position that he played that classic centre forward. So he brought all the players into play. So he'd get the ball, he'd hold it up. He'd hold up about 2-3 players. They couldn't get the ball off him, lay it up, you know. He was a phenomenal player. And there were stories I remember when he played in Dinamo Zagreb as well. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of sticks saying, oh, he doesn't score many goals. And then I think I spoke with somebody and they mentioned that the amount of goals that he set up, and there was a player then, Silvio Matic.
Yeah, yep.
He scored that many goals, but it was all through Mark Viduka.
It's the same as Josh Kennedy for Australia. They go, look how good Josh Kennedy was for the Socceroos. Viduka didn't do half as much as he did, but without Viduka, he wouldn't have got a touch.
No.
Wouldn't have got
not at all.
And when we talk about local, his kids were at Knights when he was in Australia. His kids were at Knights. They spent a bit of time at Altona City.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him pushing goalposts out like every other parent. May not have been involved in a physical aspect of getting involved in the game and coaching and whatever, but he still brought the kids there to his local club in Altona at the time. Then at the Knights, just a soul of the earth.
Yeah, good on him, mate. That's up to him too, yeah. I mean, he's given heaps to the game. I mean, he's one of the best players that have ever come out of this country.
Didn't like the limelight. Even as a youngster, I remember it'd be a Friday night, everyone's going to the Metro, whatever it was, and they're telling him, but he used to get just accosted at these places. Yeah, he'd be walking, there'd be people all around him, even as an 18, 20-year-old. So he'd ring and say, just come to my joint and we'll get, you know, we'll hire a Seagate play master system or whatever it is in a couple of our championship manager 2000, 2001, and we'll be Wally for the night.
We're going to take him to the Champions League.
But Silvio Matic has kicked on. I've seen him on late night Zagreb television. He's going great, guns, that bloke.
Yeah. Yeah,
type in Silvio Matic Noć na More and have a look at that Friday night television that used to be on in Zagreb, and you'll see what state he's in.
he got into all sorts of extracurricular activities from what I've heard, so we won't go into that one anyway. But we forgot to mention before. So Doris is saying hi, Cousin Wally. Right. So as he's affectionately known in South Australia as well as
there
Cousin Wally.
Gambiraja, there must be from my village. But like I said, Gambiraja, another product. Not to bang home that
Smiley, keep going. I like this.
Any Kachuch bumped into him at that rally, the pay wages rally on Wednesday, whenever it was last week. Another one, former Socceroo. Half the Sydney United, pretty much all the Sydney United, Cullats and all of them come from around there.
I was going to say, look, they say you're from wherever your wife's from, so I love Zadar.
Sorry, the best Croatian player of all time, we might as well just say it. I think it's Luka Modric.
Yeah,
any debate about that?
Pretty much, Šime Vrsaljko, Modric, Subasic, the whole lot. Croatia just won just qualified for the Euro in handball 2020 in Zadar.
Yeah.
In Serbia, beat them 27-23.
Yeah, probably would have got smashed in Zagreb because it only would have been corporates that turned up.
And very, very well behaved. There was no incidents whatsoever.
Which is surprising.
That's how we roll, man. But Mark Talaic also getting a lot of love. The bloke hasn't been in the studio. He's had more mentions on our feeds than anybody else. But here we go. Robert Chop says, Jesse Chop will be the next Viduka. My kids are next Viduka, probably.
Everyone's going to say it, huh? And Krištof Marić, while he has a weather up there.
Oh, well, jeez. There's an original there.
Oh, but unfortunately, we've sort of run out of time. But it's been fantastic having you on. We've been talking for weeks about having you on, and we knew it was going to be mega entertaining, and you just knew that you got to get the piss taken out of you.
Well, standard, isn't it?
Well, depending when you get
get a word in, mate.
If you do go on holidays, depending when you get back, I might be on holidays. You might have a co-host right here, former 3WRB What's that word that Ilya Dragicic couldn't quite spit out on radio back in the day?
Should I really hammer him? I haven't spoken to Ilya for a while. But
it was reminiscent of Arkan when he was getting interviewed.
I think the word was coincidence. So he had a bit of trouble saying that word.
It's like Arco with a funda. But we love Ilya. He's
we do.
He's doing great things down there at Dinamo with all the junior development down there as well. So well done to him.
Absolutely.
And everybody down at St Albans.
Yeah.
Robin Mustapić, good to hear from you. Wilson, Ivan Jelicic, Croatia versus Australia, ice hockey straight after the night train. Oh, there you go. Ice hockey. Might have to jump on YouTube or whatever it is and watch it if we can get a live feed. And hopefully everyone's stuck around, haven't been watching Game of Thrones. You can always watch it on some podcast later on.
I have not seen 10 seconds of that show.
I'll be watching it when I get home because it's...
Are you going to have a guest appearance, Wally, in this last season?
Yeah, possibly.
Get their people to call your people.
Spoke to the producers already, so it's in motion.
Well, once again, Wally, thanks so much. But you know what? I'm feeling lost now because we don't have a song. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm caught with my pants down.
I've got nothing. But do we mention anything about something happening later on down the track?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're in the...
Okay, so we're in the process now. I said there would be a bit of an announcement, but we are looking at the 20th of May, which is a Monday night, having a live show with a live studio audience from St Andrews Hotel in Fitzroy, formerly known as the Pump House. So Rob and myself, along with other guests, and it's going to be basically a mid-season review. Mm-hmm. We will most likely hear from the president and the coach, but it'll be a two-hour show, live from the Pump House. Whether or not we charge entry, if it is, it'll be some nominal fee. We're not going to charge much. Might be a donation. We may even see if we can put some of it or all of it towards charity. We'll have a chat to Mr. Vujic about that, and I'm pretty sure he'll have a good idea of what charity that money could possibly go to, but I'm not preempting anything. But 20 May, Monday night, 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock, live studio audience. You can get down to St Andrews, maybe have a feed, have a few drinks, jump in the studio. We need a Trevor Marmalade. Maybe maybe Wally can jump behind the bar and give us his special comments. You never know, maybe.
Might be. But places will be limited because of sponsors and all of that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. We'll let you know in the coming weeks, but we won't let you know next week because we're not here next week, unfortunately, due to the Easter Monday holiday and no games being played other than the midweek FFA Cup / Doherty Cup game against Moorabbark.
The Bark is 7:45 kickoff, $8 entry, I believe it is.
Yes, that's right,
for adults. So it's a discounted price. Get down there. It's school holidays. No excuses for the kids not to stay out a bit later on a Wednesday night.
I think it's 28 on Wednesday as well.
There you go. It should be absolutely fantastic. First real hit out in the cup competition, but you never know. There's been some big giant killing already happening. You don't want to take these games and teams too lightly. When you're a smaller club, you've got a chip on your shoulder, you want to come out, you want to win. You're playing at Knights Stadium against the Melbourne Knights. No doubt these guys are going to come out and want to give their all. So they need to be on the game, but hopefully we can get a result there and have a bit of a break before we play Green Gully the following Friday, which will be the big local derby. And Gully is going great guns at the moment as well, so it'll be a top game.
Absolutely. Chris Omarich asking me to keep my pants on for the love of God. Yep, no worry. George Hrvojevic asking us to make an Israel Folau comment. We want to keep our jobs here, even they're not paying.
Wrap it up, guys.
But to everyone out there, as we won't be, just a reminder, we're not here next week, next Monday. So if you tune into FNR, I'm sure you'll hear a repeat of a really great show. I'm not sure which one, but it won't be ours. So in a fortnight's time, we'll be back. In the meantime, happy Easter. Sretan Uskaris. We'll see you out at Knight Stadium on Wednesday, 7:45, as we take on Moorabbark in the Doherty Cup, FFA Cup. Until then, take care and good night.
Happy Easter.